We present I'm Sorry I Haven't a Clue, the antidote to panel games. At the piano is Colin Sell, and your chairman is Humphrey Littleton.
Thank you very much. Well, everyone's heard of the famous international TV quiz Mastermind. Welcome to its radio counterpart, P-Brain. And this week we have a team of past winners. Indeed, each of them is the proud possessor of a Lonsdale belt in this area. On my right, Tim Brooke-Taylor and Willie Rushton. On my left, Graham Garden and Barry Cryer. And because we've been caught out by time on previous programs for this game, we're going to put it in the beginning of the program so this will be absolutely safe, teams. This is the game called Wobbling Bunnies.
Oh, good. Wobbling Bunnies.
And I don't know whether you need me to remind you about... Oh, wait a minute. Hold on a minute. Well, there's been a message from our producer to say that the apparatus hasn't arrived yet, so we'll have to postpone this game to the end of the program, unfortunately. Oh. Oh. Never mind, we'll get it in then. I'll assure you of that. So anyway, this is the point where I give teams advance warning of the late arrivals that they'll be introducing later on to the Game Hunter's Ball. Late arrival to the Game Hunter's Ball.
Game Hunters?
Is that the people who are looking for wobbling bunnies, or is that...
killing them.
Okay, now, let's start the show properly by introducing the game, which is quite simply called Limericks. I'll ask each of you to make up some limericks that are suitable broadcasting. I'll give you a first line, and Willie Rushton, will you stand by, because your first line is coming up right now, and you have to take it from there. A radio producer called Perkins...
had a passion for eating raw gherkins.
He'd munch them while dreaming...
of a naked Jan Leeming.
Don't think I'll bother, really.
Which played hell with his internal workings. You shouldn't have bothered, actually.
I shouldn't have bothered. Shouldn't have bothered.
So that round obviously goes to Tim. Graham, you're going to start a limerick off now, and your first line is, there was a young fellow from Ongar.
Whose main joy in life was the conga.
He's been dancing to date.
Since 1908.
I don't think he'll be doing it much longer.
Right, that puts you, Tim and Willie, well ahead on this round so far. And, Tim, I'm going to ask you to start with this line. Halley's Comet came spiralling down.
It's topical. Halley's Comet came spiralling down and landed on top of George Brown. It's topical, too.
He burst into flames, shouted several rude names...
and now he's the toast of the town.
Graham Garden fighting back there. Barry. Mm.
Sir.
I take off my hat to Frank Boff.
It's terribly easy to scoff.
But... but that man is a whiz.
He certainly is.
Ain't he great? Ain't he grand? Switch him off.
Okay, with the team's level pegging, we go on to a game now which is called Connection Quiz. I mentioned Mastermind earlier, and this one's like Mastermind, except that it's played with a more uncomfortable chair. I'm going to give each contestant a set of objects or people, and he has to tell me what the connection is between them. And incidentally, these are all taken from a new book called The Book of Lists, so they're completely genuine. And I shall know whether you get them right, teams. Okay. Tim Brooke-Taylor, we're going to start with you. Connection, please, between Louis the Fat, Charles the Simple, and Ferdinand the Inconstant.
Oh, it's unfair. I know this one. They were all on Harold Wilson's honours list.
Well, that is a true answer, but the other one is that they're all... This one's terribly boring, I must tell you. They're all derogatory nicknames or sobriquets.
For Harold Wilson.
Barry Cryer, here's a list for you to connect. Cucumber, lead pencil, bald eagle, a banana tree, and an English horn.
They're all obtainable on prescription in Copenhagen.
Puts more lead in your cucumber, doesn't it?
Well, I can give you half a mark for that, but the real answer is that they are all not what they seem.
Good Lord.
For example, I'm not going to go through the whole list, but a lead pencil is not made of lead.
Graphite, isn't it?
And a bald eagle has a full head of curly hair. Right.
How have I struggled along without knowing that?
Willie Rushton.
Hello. What is a cucumber if it's not what it seems to be?
It's not a cucumber.
And I was hoping you weren't going to ask me that.
What have I been putting in my salad?
I understand from reference to the book that everybody, except me, of course, because I've looked at the book, thinks that a cucumber is a vegetable, and it's not. It's a fruit.
That's just gossip.
We're going to Willie Rushton now before anybody asks about the banana tree. Willie Rushton, will you please connect George Washington's laundry bill, Judy Garland's false eyelashes, and 180,000 dead cats?
They've all been on a conveyor belt at the end of the generation gap.
Is that true?
It is, actually, yes, and you get 12 marks.
Oh.
And the reason I tell you it's true is that the producer has scribbled the right answer on my script, and I can't read his writing. I think it says here that they were all at one time or another auctioned. Now, we go to Graham Garden, and will you connect, please, Lewis Carroll, Virginia Woolf, and Kenneth Clark?
Lewis Carroll, Virginia Woolf, and Kenneth Clark were all affectionately known as Nobby.
I'm not certain whether to give you that, because certainly Kenneth Clark is, and certainly Virginia Woolf was.
Nobby
I'm
Wolf,
not certain yeah. about Lewis Carroll.
I'm Nobby Carroll.
Nobby Carroll?
Well, Nobby Dodgson.
Dodgy Nobby, they call him. Yes, so really, I think I judge this by the actual answer that's in the book, which is that they all wrote standing up.
Well, you would.
Well, yeah.
Can't remember that.
Tim, we'll go back to you now. We'll have another round of those, because I'm rather enjoying this.
Quit while you're behind.
You're on your own, hum.
Tim, will you connect hay, toads, beans, and white fibrous blobs?
It's the toads and the white fibrous blobs that give it away. They are, in fact, the official ingredients of a McDonald's hamburger.
I wasn't going to give you that, but the audience obviously thinks I should. So you can have that one. You can have the 13 marks there. And the official answer is that they all at one time or another fell out of the sky. Here's some for you to connect, Barry. Tutankhamun, Dolly Parton...
Well, that's
Queen
three.
Victoria.
Queen Victoria.
Queen Victoria.
They all wore women's clothes in private. Queen Victoria. I don't know.
Really. No, I didn't think you did.
They've all been stuffed.
Tutankhamun used to dress up as his mummy.
Well, there's bonus marks to Tim Brooke Taylor and Barry Cryer. But the real answer is that they were or are all under 5 foot six.
Oh, Queen Victoria's under 6 foot now.
Another bonus mark to Barry, putting him in the lead. Willie Rushton, here's another lot for you to connect. Al Jolson's knee, Betty Grable's leg, Jimmy Durante's nose.
Shirley Temple sat on them.
At some stage.
And, actually, the answer is that they're all imprinted in concrete outside Grauman's Chinese Theatre in Hollywood.
Thank you, Humph.
Good.
Right, and Graham, the last lot of things to connect. Small buttocks and flat stomach.
Small buttocks and flat stomach are the legendary American blues singers.
Help on, there they are. Small buttocks and flat stomach, yeah!
That's the ones.
That is absolutely true. And we go on. Now, according to the Book of Lists, these are attributes that women most look for in men.
Is that true?
It's absolutely true. It says
in the book. Poll in the audience.
It's in the book.
It plays hell with the story of my life.
I'll give you a bonus mark to make up for it.
Thank you.
Right. We now have a game called Telegrams to Various Well-Known People.
Well, I've got one from Van Gogh, or Van Gogh, to a mail order company. It's regret but must cancel order for stereo headphones.
I've got one to you, Humph. It says, my mother dug you crazy music when she was little, stop. Never thought you'd make 100, stop. Crazy man, crazy stop, the Queen.
Good way of handing in your notice.
Yes. Get out while I'm behind.
I got one for Christopher Wren just before he built St. Paul's Cathedral. Big mistake, stop. You should have hung on for the Nat West building.
I got another sad one here to Noah of Noah's Ark fame, and it's could be a few minutes late, stop. Don't leave without a stop, Mr. and Mrs. Unicorn.
How true.
From the makers of the Wooden Horse of Troy, it's Agub, where do you want the exit put?
And a ripple of applause for you, Tim.
Telegram to Joan of Arc, all the best, watch out for the faggots.
I've got one here. Have written 5 times, received no reply, stop. Have phoned repeatedly, no answer, stop. Can you have lunch October the 15th, 1977, stop. Tom Jackson.
Oh,
a telegram to Napoleon, you left your braces at the motel.
That one's true, though, isn't it?
Any more? No. Barry, you're in the lead. And we go on to the round where... This one has a subtle title, so I shall leave a pause after it to allow it to sink in. It's called Words of One Song to the Tune of Another.
Sink, sink.
In other words, I'm going to ask members of each team... Well, I'm going to ask each team, rather, to sing the words of one song to the tune of another. And if someone will wake up Colin Sale at the piano, he's going to provide... the musical accompaniment. Graham Garden, we're going over to you, and your words are, I've got a lovely bunch of coconuts. And the tune is Exodus.
Exodus.
I've got a lovely bunch of coconuts. There they are standing in a row. Big ones and small ones, some as big as your head. Give them a twist, a flick of the wrist. That's what the showman said.
I shall be marking according to audience applause. Oh. You get one mark for that.
Well, he sang that by a glass of water parted.
I'm afraid only one mark for you, Graham.
I know.
And it goes over to Willie Rushton. And, Willie, your words are A Foggy Day in London Town to the tune of that famous and much-loved march, Colonel Bogey.
A foggy day in London Town. Me low and head me down. I view the morning with alarm. The British Museum had lost its charm. Oh, how long I wonder could this thing last?
All together now.
But the age of miracles had not passed. For secondly, I saw you there, at the foggy lockdown, the sun shining everywhere.
Oh, hey, brother! Hey!
Modesty forbids I've thrown the words away.
And one marked for Willie Rushton there.
Oh,
quite right.
All right.
They're throwing
all right.
Cushions, Wimbledon champion.
Never let it be said
back in the summer.
I don't listen to opinions from all quarters. No marks to Willie Rushton.
Oh.
Well, we have a round now called New Words, and for this round I'm going to ask the teams one by one to introduce a new word which they must then use in a sentence to demonstrate its meaning. The members of the opposing team can challenge by pressing their buzzers if they disagree, and they then have to give the real meaning. We're going to start, Tim Brooke-Taylor, with you.
My word is whital. I could be whitling to you after the show if I were to come and say, "Humph, the show, what can I say? You've done it again." It's a sort of lie by omission. It's sort of congratulating somebody without really meaning it. Actors need it a lot. that's what whitling is. Another example of whitling is, "Sorry, darling, I've got a headache."
Whitling. Anybody like to challenge that?
Anybody in the audience like to challenge that?
Anybody in the audience like to challenge that? Well, it must be true, then.
A useful word, yes.
It must be true, and Tim Brooke-Taylor wins.
Thank you. Next round.
And we go on to... Oh, no, wait a minute. Just a moment. Barry, would you introduce a word now?
Killer was.
Killer was?
Yes, it's a bulletproof waistcoat. But people do tend to ask for them a moment too late. You know, in so many films... "Inspector, the killer was..." Ah!
That's good, yes. No challenge either, unless the buzzers aren't working. Oh, a challenge there from Tim Brooke-Taylor.
I didn't know this round was allowed to be funny.
Well, with Willie Rushton.
Well, since the fact there have been cutbacks in the monasteries, the word "prior" has now taken on a whole new meaning, and it can appear now in sentences like, "Little Keith priored his bedding again last night." It suggests wetness or dampness now. It's a...
More along the James line.
Yes. A little clone of Edward Heath.
Yes.
Actually, that's same red face, same white hair, but all misshapen, so he's melted slightly.
James Pryor, if you're... out there at the moment, what can I say?
We'll buy it in the fridge and see if it'll set again.
Willie Rushton, actually, you're going to get two marks for that, because I have heard the word used in that context. It's already in circulation. What? Graham Garden, will you introduce a new word for us, please?
Yes, this is a new word, anastasia, which has passed into the language because it's been much used by immigrants arriving in the United States of America. In the early part of the century is when it became popular. I used to get off the boat and say, "I got here, Anastasia."
I think that's really prior, that. Sorry.
Very good. Do you have any others, teams? No. Right, we're
certainly
gone.
Not.
Now, as you know, each week we've been asking members of the team to supply a game, and what they have to do, first of all, is to explain it to us. And this week it's Tim's game. So, Tim Brooke-Taylor, would you explain your game to us?
I think that's a misprint, isn't it? It's Kim's game we're meant to be playing, which is that game when...
Isn't it?
When you show something for a short while and then cover it up and you have to remember what it is.
Okay, then, Tim, we'll let you off. We'll play Kim's game.
Tim's game, only this time...
Only this time it's Kim's game. What we're going to do is...
Show me to the...
Show Tim Brooke-Taylor.
We can play new words again.
We're then going to cover him up. And then the rest of you have got to tell me what you remember having seen.
Ah.
I'll take a long look, teams. Remember... Got to memorize. I'll give you another 10 seconds to memorize. Music from Colin Sell.
A and he knitted it himself.
Now, we'll cover him up, and we're going to start with you, Barry Cryer. You've had plenty of time to think. Now, will you please try and recall what you saw?
I thought there was a combine harvester. I thought. The thing that's imprinted on my mind is a tall, fat man.
Legs.
Some legs. Glimpse of legs.
Some legs.
They were few and far between. and just a wisp of hair there, just a wisp of in a old bleachy head.
A bitch.
A bitch, that's right. I saw a bitch.
I'll have to stop you there, Barry. You did recall four items, which gives you four marks.
Thank you, Hum.
And Willie Ruston, can you now recall? You've had a longer time to think, so I shall
handicap. I have a longer time to forget. Sensible shoes.
Mm-hmm.
Blue shoes. I think they're called rotting shoes in Australia. So, they look slightly orthopedic. Dr. Skoll would love them. Strange facial blemishes all over the eyes. little mean little mouth. And this hair that was spoken of. Ish. And a red shirt. Also a freebie. Everything he wears has been given by people. Bare advertising. That's all I can remember.
Well, your time's up anyway, Willie, and that gives you remembered seven items, so that gives you seven marks and puts you three ahead of whoever went before. And, Graham, will you recall what you saw before
it
was covered up?
Yes, it was... I remember the sensible shoes and the rather ill-advised trousers.
Is that all?
Eminently forgettable.
You've got
four more
seconds, if you because you've only got three marks so far.
No, that's actually all I could remember about it.
Three marks to Graham Garden, then. Right, well, that leaves you, Tim.
Right, well, I remember a young Greek god-looking creature. About 6'4", across the shoulders. I mean, something rather special, Hump. Almost as good as your trumpet playing. I'll put it that way.
Whiteling again.
That's whiteling. That's white lying, you see. Whiteling. I forgot to mention.
Well, one thing you didn't remember to say about whiteling is that it almost invariably pays off. 10 marks. And now, as promised, we come to the game Wobbling Bunnies and Teams. I don't have to tell you that we go very rapidly round because we are getting a bit short of time. In fact, actually, if we're going to get the last game in, I think we better carry on to that one and leave that out. So put a pencil through that. And we'll go on, Teams, to the point in the programme where I ask you to introduce the late arrivals at the Big Game Hunter's Ball. Anybody can start, and I rather hope you do.
Very welcome, please, Mr. and Mrs. Noceros and their son, Ray Noceros.
With his close friend, film star Ryan O'Neill. And his daughter, Tay Tom Tom.
And the well-known aphrodisiac, Wayne O'Horn.
Oh, here's Lionel Blair in a turban and an animal skin. What is it, Lionel? Three words. A jungle creeper, Turban District Council, Gurkha's Revolutionary Party. Hide and seek. Very good, Lionel. He's game. Oh, somebody shot him. Moving on from the Hollywood Ball, Rod Tiger, Sue Lyon and Telly Scopic Sight.
And also...
Rucker,
and also...
Dial.
Zebra Carr.
Oh!
Mr. and Mrs. Thropoid Ape, and their daughter Anne Thropoid Ape.
Oh, there's Lord Kagan in a raincoat made out of a cheetah.
The grand old singer, Ella Fitz Graveyard.
Bearing a copy of that invaluable book, The Ivory Manual. Tusk, tusk.
Please will you welcome, because they've been so good to us, Zan and Jane. I think we'd like to all thank them. Tarzan and Jane.
with the Chancellor, Dennis Swahili.
Useful family here. Mr. and Mrs. Ketonet, and their son, Amos Ketonet.
Why are all those people rushing round looking for a 60-foot by 30-foot monopoly board? Oh, they're big game hunters. Why they're rushing around
looking for a 60-foot monopoly board.
Well, in response to frantic signalling from those of you listening at home, I have to say that we've come very near the end of this week's programme.
There's Hippo Marx. Oh, sorry.
Oh, and Anaconda.
Safari's a goodie.
So this is where I say that's all for this week, and we'll see you next time. Goodbye now.
Barry Cryer, Graham Garden, Tim Brooke-Taylor and Willie Rushton were being given silly things to do by Humphrey Lyttelton, with Colin Sell setting some of them to music. The programme was produced by Geoffrey Perkins.